When your company earns unlimited 2% cash back on all purchases with Capital One, that's serious business. So, Steven at SandCloud got a serious business card, the Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One.
We used our 2% cash back to help build our retail presence.
Savvy, Steven.
And we get big purchasing power, so our business can spend more and earn more.
The Spark Cash Plus card from Capital One. What's in your wallet?
Terms and conditions apply. Find out more at CapitalOne.com/SparkCashPlus.
Pulls out the world's largest butt plug. And then just plugs himself up and then came back to bed.
Welcome back to That's a Gay Ass Podcast, the podcast that asks, whose fault is it that you're gay, queer, beer, thank you, mirror. My name is Eric Williams, and this week is a stunning week with IMHO, the show, on this fucking podcast. You probably know that a couple months ago, Darby Lynn Cartwright and Alexis Bevels were both on the Gay Ass Live show, and I was so obsessed that I had to bring them on the pod. So this is a very special treat. I also want to give you some context that I recorded this with them on my last day in Florida before heading to New York, where I am now. The audio, something happened a little bit. So if it sounds a little different or a little moments of up and downness, thank you for bearing with me, and it was my fault, and I love you so much for not being mad at me about it. I also want to tell you that this week is huge for many reasons, of course, because tonight I'm interviewing the Brian Derrick for Gay Ass Podcast live recording, Swoon, and also I'm doing the first ever East Coast edition of That's a Gay Ass Live show. Which I'm really excited for, but I'm sure you, if you follow me, you saw I did have a delicious hangout with a one Miss Julia Fox. I do want to thank personally my dog Freddie for making the introduction. I'm staying at my friend's apartment in Harlem, and Freddie and I are walking, and Freddie meets this Beethoven-esque looking gorgeous giant dog. I go, oh, they're sweet. What's their name? As I ask the question, my eyelashes raise, my eyeballs go into focus. I'm staring at Julia Fox holding her dog on a leash. She's in full beat, looking gorgeous. And she goes, oh, Fiona. And I was like, oh my gosh, this is Freddie. Freddie and Fiona. The move I pull, because you know what? Celebrities are just as fucked up as we are. So I'm not going to like make her feel, you know, already weird enough that I know who she is. So I say, oh, by the way, I heard you on Good Children Podcast. I love them so much. They're doing my show on Thursday. She immediately was just like, oh my God, I love them. Tell them I say hi. I said, absolutely. And she's like, yeah, Fiona usually doesn't like dogs, but this is great. And I was like, sure. So after an hour of just kind of going into our deepest history, secrets, dramas, we kissed on both cheeks, a la Française, and I made my way. By that, I mean it probably lasted 3 minutes, but God, it was fun to talk. Love it so much. And that's New York City. Babe, cue Sex and the City music. Let's get into this fucking podcast, my friends. It is Darby Lynn Cartwright and Alexis Bevels from IMHO, the show. If you want to support the podcast, there is a Patreon, just $5 a month for ad-free eps, and I will post the gay-ass live show videos on there for free once you have subscribed. I want to thank the recent subscribers. I'm so grateful for you to show that support. And I love you all so much. Enjoy! I'm going to start by saying 5, 6, 7, 8. What if I did a rap? Darby Lynn Cartwright, Alexis Bevels. They came on. They won't level with us. They're going to be honest, but they're not going to be a bitch. They're going to say, what's the sitch? It's the Gay Ass Podcast IMHO twist. Buckle up your seatbelts. Can I put my dick between your tits?
Yes, absolutely. After that, you're a poet, sir.
I really was going to delete that from the app and kind of dive overboard, but I actually think that I'm going to keep it in because you make me feel so safe. Thank you, Darby Lynn Cartwright and Alexis P. Bevels, for coming on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. It's a fucking honor.
It's such an honor to be here. Thank you for having us.
Alexis, what does the P stand for today?
Podcast.
Alexis, come on, Alexis. Podcasts. No, I like that answer.
You don't want me? You want me to do a different one?
I want you to, like, you're so, one of my favorite things about you, besides just like all the other things I always say, is your creativity.
I can give you a preview of the one that we're going to do when we film our episode in a little bit.
Oh, wow. She's pre-written. Tell us.
Today, the P stands for Parker, Sarah Jessica. As you know, the new season of And Just Like That came out yesterday. I have seen the first episode only, and it is the best show airing on television right now.
That is shots fired. I also saw you shared on one of your socials, or I think Darby tweeted about Alexis as the same person who would also say French hat, French fry, as Carrie Bradshaw did in the OG.
Yeah. Thank you so much for saying that. That was Darby, actually.
Yeah, he said that.
And that's one of my favorite episodes when she's wearing that. Actually, it's not one of my favorite episodes. It's one of my favorite outfits.
Okay, so then I don't mean to be divisive in the beginning of this episode, but between the two of you, which one of you is the Carrie?
I'm the Carrie. Thank you so much.
And Darby?
Well, she's the Carrie because, like, let's be honest, Carrie is very unlucky in love. And, whenever she gets close to someone, they die.
In a shower. Listen.
I'm a Samantha calling in on Zoom this season.
Yeah. Spoiler alert.
And I'm collecting my money.
Does she do a Zoom appearance?
She does. It's a call-in appearance. She's not in the same place as the other, so I'm assuming it's a FaceTime or a Zoom of some sort.
I did hear that. I also saw the headline from Kristen Davis that said, there is no hope for a rekindling of friendship or whatever, which I actually read her quote, and it's basically just like, she doesn't want to set fans up for an expectation that there's this big reunion because it doesn't happen and it will never happen, which I still am grieving, if I'm being honest.
Yeah, but you know what? I say this all the time and I stand by it. It's like straight people with sports. This is my team and I don't care that we're missing a member. I don't care that we've traded a few players. I'm going to go hard for my team, everything they do.
Okay, you said member and hard, and you didn't giggle at all.
That's because I'm very serious about Sex and the City and Just Like That.
Okay.
What position does Che Diaz play on your team?
Honey.
Mascot.
she's in the full suit.
Let's be honest.
They are in the full suit.
They them
they're,
suit.
They're in the board member. Mm-hmm. They field the questions. Oh, field.
Yeah, good job.
Wait, Che Diaz is on the board of the team.
Che Diaz is, yeah.
Making money.
If it's Ted Lasso, yeah. Che Diaz is...
Why is it Ted Lasso?
Because it's the only sports I watch.
Oh, sure.
Hannah Waddingham.
By the way, this brings up an important question, speaking of sports, going into locality. Darby, you, on one of your episodes recently, you pronounced the word... What do you call, Darby, the thing you drive in that has four wheels?
Oh, a car.
Car. It was car. It was
car.
Car.
Oh, you're quoting my Drift commercial. Thank you.
I am quoting your Drift
commercial. You watch the commercials of, oh my God, that's so nice.
Every word that you say, I devour, including the commercials.
I think, you know what it was, is I was boring myself a little. Not, listen. Drift is a very exciting product and you'll never get bored. But I was boring myself a little because I did it without Alexis. She's tired of drifting. She's ready.
So the
to be
second
settled.
Character was your accent work.
Exactly. And that's because I'm married to an actor. Okay.
Which just had a role on television. And I want to congratulate your gorgeous husband.
Thank you so much.
Thank you. We've worked really hard on getting him to where he is.
Yeah.
And now that he's finally there, we can sort of start to reap the benefits of like being married to an A-list actor. I think he's currently like C-list, probably.
I would put him a few letters below that, but he's so attractive.
And emotionally, he's...
a bottom, currently. Usually, we're flipping things around, okay? And that's one thing I want to say this Pride season.
Don't be afraid to talk.
I also want to commend you on that message and the second time you've hit your microphone. It gives off such a gorgeous, thunderous...
Sorry.
No,
I
don't
get
be
too
sorry.
Excited.
When I think you hit it most recently about flipping and not being afraid to top. And I think that is a thunderous comment.
Thank you. And it really did. I think it did everything it needed.
Wait, did Darby and you and your husband have the roles
oftentimes switch, or you go years with one person being one and the other? I'm so curious from another married couple.
Okay, so this is a new development, and I don't think I'm allowed to talk about it, but I will, because he's not here.
You can be as vague as you want. I don't need specifics if it will harm your marriage.
No, no thanks. No thanks. Listen, journalism is number one.
And
My journalism always comes above.
He knew what he was getting into.
And I did get into him, and that's what we're talking about.
In and out and in and out and in and out.
I would say the first 12 years of our relationship, I always remained a passive pass-around bottom.
Sure.
He would just pass me to himself, but we made a game of it. He'd change accents, and I'd be like, oh, who's fucking me now? And he'd be like, Charles.
They were all just really mundane men. Charles.
There's a Charles. There's a David. Yeah. But yeah, recently he was like, let's try new stuff. And I said, no, thanks. And then I tried new stuff, and I'm like, okay. Huh. And I'm doing great. I do this. And for those listening at home,
Stop. You're getting them too hard.
It's that. It's like that.
Yeah.
Everyone's moaning and sitting up and down on their seat.
You got to change things up.
You said 12 years, like, it's so flippant. How many years have you been together?
13.
Wow. Lucky 13.
Yeah.
Something like that. Yeah.
As you look to Alexis.
Now, Alexis, actually, she has been single.
I'm currently single, but my last relationship ended kind of hard because it was a catfish experience.
No.
It's made
up. Yeah. No. Can you excuse me for 1 second?
Yeah, of course.
Darby, just let me have something.
You've had this thing 1,000 times. Just let me have something. Is it going to be funny this time?
So I met this gentleman named Danny on Instagram. And he was a catfish. Actually, I caught on early. This is a joke, but I did catch on early, and I would try to mess with him. So I would he wanted to see a picture. He asked for a picture of my cat and my car and my house, which are, if you didn't know, security question passwords. So I sent
him. And also, yeah, he wanted your social security card.
Yeah. Well, he wanted iTunes gift cards. That's what he wanted.
Why did he choose you of all people? If he stole your identity, he would get debt.
Well, I don't know. I think it was
Was he at least cute? Was he a cute catfish? Did he choose cute pictures?
Okay. He did choose cute pictures. And apologies to whoever's photos he stole from. I did see a dick pic, and I liked it.
Hearts up. Hearts. Yeah. Thumbs up.
Well, now I want to ask, do you think it was actual Danny's dick pic or another dick?
I think the person who was catfishing me was a team of old ladies somewhere in a call center. That's what I think.
That tracks.
Because it was a lot of, hello, dear, how are you? Like that kind of stuff.
Mrs. Doubtfire was catfishing you.
Yeah. Hello, dear. No.
You just dropped Mrs. Doubtfire so casually.
Well.
You're carrying on.
I know. But I loved it. And I would send him a picture. Like I think I sent him a picture of like a wildcat and some ferrets, and I sent him a picture of the White House as my house. And I was like, this is my gorgeous house. I know it looks small, but it's really big.
And you pissed off a lot of grandmothers in the process.
I did. And then I asked her if if he would put a baby in me, and he said, of course. And I said, well, you know.
He said, of course?
Yeah.
Is it like you said, will you impregnate me? And he was like, absolutely. No doubt.
Yeah. But he worked off an oil rig off the coast of Ghana, I think it was.
Mm.
So
Danny is
really
just...
It was a really hard time in my life.
Well, I'm sorry that you and Danny didn't work out. He sounds like a catch with a gorgeous dick, if I can say that.
It was gorgeous. Yeah.
Listen, I think if you're going to catfish, pictures, very important. But dick pics need to be authentic. They need to be well lit.
I don't think the dick pic, though gorgeous, I don't think it was the person whose face was sent to me.
Do you think AI just, wait, do you think catfishing is now so much easier because of AI?
Yeah, and that's why we need to remain on strike until we get this.
Haven't you seen all the Henry Cavill deep fakes about like him wearing a fucking leotard? I feel like this is just the beginning, and I'm sure if you ask AI to like make, like for example, if I was like, can you make my dick X amount? Anything different, because I don't want to give any expectations that my dick isn't perfect, because I do think it is, because it's what I was given, and it's not that small.
Right. However, no, we met your parents, and they had a lot of good things to say about it.
Thank you. They're so sweet. They really do know how to really schmooze. But I do think that AI will 100% make me not trust anyone ever again. Since I'm on this tear, this morning Googled, I was embarrassed, so I deleted it from my phone, Henry Cavill armpit, because someone posted a Rolling Stone cover photo of Henry Cavill doing armpit, and it was so hot, I didn't know if it was real, and I found it nowhere on the internet, so it is fake, and I'm just another one of AI's victims.
Yes, AI is insane, and it's one of the many things that's going to end us as a society, as a whole, as humanity, if you will. But I'm so thankful that I am almost 40 and this is just now happening, because if right. I were 19 and insane, sorry, that's redundant. If I was 19, I would absolutely be using AI to change my body.
I would announce my Broadway debut and I would still be, you know, a picture of me on a marquee.
Are you singing?
I am singing.
Good. Why didn't you sing at the live show?
Yeah, why didn't you sing with us? Podcast,
but just
at your
live
show.
Yeah.
Why didn't you sing with us?
So
I didn't sing with you because I didn't think I deserved to. It was the first time, and I actually had a moment of like, you know, Alexis and Darby, they not only stole the show and were so good, but they also witnessed me, I think, in a bit of a chaotic space, because that was the first time at that venue, it was the first time with that many people on the show. But I will say, it was an incredible show. We did it again at the same spot. It was incredible again. So now I feel more prepped, and I want to sing with you as soon as possible.
Oh my God.
Do you have a go-to, like, what's your karaoke song? What's your go-to
song?
Well,
it's funny you ask, is karaoke is, I think, the worst thing invented. But I did do a song at the last live show that would speak to you because you had a gorgeous Disney medley. My song was to the tune of "Do You Want to Build a Snowman?" But instead I sang "Do You Want to Fuck My Husband?" And it was me inviting people to having threesomes with me and my husband. So,
oh, that's lovely.
Do you do threesomes?
Yeah. Talk. You might have covered this ground, but I want to know, do you
hate karaoke?
Or do you, are you open? What's your deal?
There's always one person that's like, am I in the way?
Yeah.
Well, I hear there is an art to that. And I will say that I have only recently started to open up about that part of my life, because just like you and your husband, there's like this, like, he knows what he signed up for. So that's why I'm going to be open with you and tell you that we were fully monog for 8 years. And then we moved to LA. And obviously, when you move to LA, you sell your body for drugs and for the industry, and so we for views, and so we decided to sort of kind of fit in to the culture in that way. All this to say, we have now dabbled in that next step, and a big fan.
Can I tell you the weirdest threesome my husband and I had?
Please.
So we haven't done it in a very, very long time, but this was years ago, and I told him that I found this guy, this twink, attractive, because I, at the time, peak twinkdom, like number one, top twink, literally now top twink, but before being top twink, number one.
Sure.
And Curtis was like, oh my God, you find a twink hot, that's so hot, should we try it? And I was like, down, like fully sex addicted, let's do it. And the guy comes over, he was like 21 and weighed 12 pounds. The tiny cartoon man came over, and we basically, Curtis and I just did stuff while he just kind of like kept going, yeah. And he never got hard. And then like there's a moment where we're all in bed kind of like kissing, and my husband, but at the time, boyfriend and I, we're kind of looking at each other like, what world is he in? Like, what's going on? And then the guy, without saying a word, gets out of bed, like stands up. And we were like, not a word said, picks up a backpack. I didn't see him enter with one. Opens the backpack, pulls out the world's largest butt plug, and then just plugs himself up, and then came back to bed. Didn't say a word to us about any of it. Not even in like a sexy, like, hey, boys.
Before we get started, I gotta take care of something.
Yeah, you want to put this in my pussy? Nothing like that.
Let me slip into something more comfortable.
Exactly.
Yeah.
Not even that.
And then he just kind of like perched on the bed while we just had sex like we always did.
You know, I hate to make assumptions based on someone I do not know, but I will tell you that this was a bad third and should to take some classes before trying to do that again, because the art of it is the inclusivity of everyone's enjoyment, and that butt plug and backpack and twink only cared about one hole.
Yeah. His own.
Yeah.
God, you're a poet.
I don't know what Florida has done to me, but I think just in comparison to everyone else, I sound like I have a Pulitzer. But I will say the journalist in me needs to ask you both a very famous podcast question. And I want to start with Alexis Podcast Bevels. Whose fault is it that your queer, peer, dear, beer, gay for pay, thank you, May? Who do we blame, babe?
Oh my gosh. You know, I've thought long and hard about this. I initially thought about Kevin Sorbo from TV's Hercules Legendary Journeys. I had an obsession. And he's not good now, so I don't want to give him the publicity.
Yeah.
Wait, what happened to him now?
He's a Republican. He's just a gross dirt.
Now he does big like Christian movies, like God's Not Dead.
He like hates gay people. Dead too. Yeah. No.
The Squeakquel.
And then I stopped at, of course,
More God.
Tommy the Green/White Ranger from the Power Rangers. That was hugely influential.
R.I.P.
What I landed on is gonna have to go ahead and be the movie Labyrinth, particularly David Bowie's Bulge.
Oh my God!
So I have not, and I'm so grateful that you're making me Google David Bowie Bulge.
Yeah. David Bowie plays the Goblin King in this movie that some humans, a lot of puppets. It's Jim Henson, creature feature, and it's also Jennifer Connelly. And the first time you see her, she is wearing this gorgeous white dress that I was absolutely obsessed with. So it's actually two things.
Jennifer Connelly's in it?
She is.
As a child?
She plays Labyrinth. She was
Labyrinth's
a teenager. Yeah, she plays Labyrinth, and she has this gorgeous dark raven hair. I have dark hair. She wears this gorgeous white dress. And then in this scene where there's like a masquerade ball and he's like serenading her, she wears this incredible white puffy dress. And that dress mixed with his tight pants and giant, like a cod piece of a bulge. That made me think some things.
Listen, how could it not? A gorgeous gown, a bulging bulge, two things that... And also, I do feel that Jennifer Connelly is the great equalizer. I do want to let you know that David Bowie in this film does look like McCavity from Cats, which, by the way, was huge for me, so I can see why this movie would have done it for you. Can you paint the picture for where in the world you were when you saw this and what age you were?
In my house.
Where is your
oh,
in a room. There were four walls. Are you following?
I don't know. Okay, I was born in Texas, so, and I was probably there somewhere.
Houston.
I don't know. I was very young, and I must have like seen it. Maybe I have two older sisters. Maybe they were watching it. I don't know how I came across it because I don't.
You're the second guest in a row to have two older sisters. And you, I truly think that older sisters create queer people. And it also, of course, is genetic. Question mark. The sisters make it confirmed.
Mine was a decision. I chose this. But yeah, sure, go off on genetics.
Yeah.
Wait, how many? What's your sibling situation, Darby?
I have a twin brother. Do you really?
Too.
Is he gay?
No. Is yours?
No.
Fascinating.
And you're really tall. Is your twin short or tall?
We're like mirror twin, or not mirror. We're Mary-Kate and Ashley fraternal, where like we're fraternal, where we look just alike. You know, Mary-Kate and Ashley are fraternal, right?
I do. Yes, this reference is gorgeous. So you look identical. You are, in fact, genetically fraternal.
I'm like an inch taller.
Yeah.
And longer.
Ew. When's the last time you saw your twin brother's dick?
cock.
Well, I'm from Tennessee.
So at Christmas.
At the wedding.
So like 6 months. I don't know.
Did your twin brother turn you gay because you liked what you saw?
I went, wait, I can have this all the time, not just at Christmas.
Not just over turkey.
Oh my God.
They're going to get a hold of this podcast.
I know.
I do feel like I should be honest with you. I actually, unfortunately, am back to straight because I've always been interested in men, but I'm just here into my transition.
Which, by the way, mazel tov on the year, Annie.
Thank you so much.
And so, how does it feel to be straight?
Honestly, a little embarrassing, but I feel like that's how it should be.
Mm-hmm.
Yeah. And weird.
Listen, you are probably, if I may say, the most acceptable form of straight. I mean, come on. It's giving queer. It's giving ally. It's giving quali. It's giving.
Yeah. I'm under the umbrella is what I'd like to say as a trans woman. Obviously.
You're I threw under the away umbrella. All my umbrellas when we moved to LA, and then it rained in LA for like 6 months. And I had to buy an umbrella in LA. I had to buy an umbrella in LA.
Did you used to live in New York?
We lived in Chicago.
We were in Chicago.
Oh,
yeah,
that was
years.
Yeah. Chicago.
So all of this weather. Yeah, I started my transition. We moved here from Chicago and then I got bangs. So there's been a lot of change for me.
I think the bangs really helped you move a little faster into this new identity.
Yeah.
Does the bangs for you signify a woman in crisis or a woman empowered or both?
Well, for me, it's like a woman in STEM. It's like I'm discovering myself and all of the kind of.
Okay, what does STEM stand for? You used it so casually. Tell me what it stands for.
Thank you so much. Of course. Sexy titties, every mama.
This is the third. It is 1:30 in the afternoon. This is the third Zoom gig we've had today. And she has been like this since gig one.
I don't know. I like my bangs. I feel like I'm like, I feel cute.
I just want to make sure.
I feel cute.
I want to make sure it's solidified in history. Say one more time what STEM stands for so we don't lose it.
Yeah.
Sexy titties, everybody, mom.
I don't know what every mom.
You just keep adding to the end of it.
Oh. It's because today, your third Zoom, you become Samantha from Sex and the City. My boyfriend has the funkiest tasting spunk. Wait, so Darby, whose fault is it that you're gay? Who do you blame, babe?
My dad. now, not the same reason as my brother. We're just doing twin stuff.
It's his asshole.
Yeah. No, my dad is... He's horrible. He's an awful, awful man. And I do hope his submarine implodes one day. And by submarine, I mean his body. I just hope I hope there's nothing left.
And you'd call me the poet? That was just so
thank you. My dad is old. I have an old dad. He's 80. And so growing up, we were very limited on what media we could take in. Okay. Mm-hmm. It's like so the media is the top, we're the bottom. Okay. Just so the gay people understand, trying to keep it very pride.
I'm there.
So I would take TCM inside of me. I would take AMC because we were very Christian. So we could either watch Christian stuff or we could watch old movies. And my dad loved old movies. And my dad introduced me to Judy Garland.
I was hoping you would go in that direction.
Bitch. I wish I had a more creative answer, you know? I wish that, like, Katie Lang had rescued me from a pool. Like, I wish I had something that unique. But instead, my thing truly is Judy Garland. And I mean, deep. It goes deep.
But think about this. You're surrounded by Christianité. You're surrounded by conservatisme. You're surrounded by an old dad that probably doesn't love a gay person. And so you ran towards the wide armed embrace of Judy Garland, which, by the way, I am married to someone who was so obsessed that I could never judge anyone. And we found out mere hours ago, okay, 24, we found out a day ago that his great-grandmother, Her name was Dorothy, and we found out his grandmother, her middle name was Gail. So we have decided, take three, he has decided that we're going to name our future unborn child Dorothy Gail, but I think that kid will be hate crimed to the last inch of their life.
I would do it. I would hate crime that child. yeah. You should name him Judy Garland's real name, which is Frances Ethel Gum. I think
should
that's
we do Francis,
gorgeous.
Have you ever met a hot Franny?
Franny Ethy Gummy.
Frances McDormand.
Frances Conroy.
Frances Conroy.
Which actress.
Is, yes, but foreshadowing.
So my dad, like, he would make us watch, like, all the MGM musicals. And, of course, I say make, but, like, anything Busby Berkeley did, I could see the showgirls in their eyes. They were dead. They were dying. Sure. They hated it. They were abused, but so beautiful. I loved it. I loved watching them walk down the stairs in fear.
Listen, that's so beautiful to have that image of you as a 10-year-old enjoy the devastation of a chorus girl. But do you think in your heart of hearts, because we had a guest, Robbie Hoffman, who has a theory that all queer people, at least one of their parents, has to have some queerness in them. Do you think your dad has any queerness in him?
Yes. Yes. Yeah. Thank you so much for asking. And yeah. I'm happy to dive into this.
Please.
So my father he's a son of a bitch, right? And right. So... I have in the past struggled with sex addiction, but so has my dad without labeling it. I think we are a very sexually fluid family, but I think Jesus is telling us you can do it, but feel shame and don't tell anyone. And when my grandmother died, my dad's mom, she was 92 when I was 12. Like, what am I going to talk to her about? She was awful. She read the Bible like 70 times all the way through. She was a monster. Anyway, I was 12. She died. We were cleaning out her house. My dad hands me a cassette tape of Judy Garland, The Capitol Years. And I was like, what is this? And he's like, this is the girl from The Wizard of Oz and like Babes on Broadway and Babes in Arms, like all those MGM Mickey Rooney musicals you like. This is her later in life when she had a drug addiction and her voice was kind of shot. And I was like, what do you mean? And I put the tape in. I heard her sing Somewhere Over the Rainbow, like a few keys down. And I was like, that's the same woman? And he's like, yes, she had a very tragic life. And I was like, this is what the rest of my life is going to be about. I was done, hooked, forever. Yeah. And then that same year in science class, oh my God, you're taking me back. In science class, we were doing a dare week, right? Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. And we got in groups and we had to do a presentation on someone who died, a celebrity who died of a drug overdose. And I got Elvis in my group because we were from Memphis and so I was like, fuck, because the group next to me got Judy Garland.
Fuck.
I asked the teacher if I could be in that group because I knew I was so passionate. And the teacher said,
yeah, fuck
said,
Elvis.
Yeah, well, the teacher said, fuck you, faggot. You're learning about Elvis. So then the day of the presentation, I brought in the cassette tape. Because I was going to educate them. And so when the Judy Garland group presented, I raised my hand. And I asked the teacher if I could play Somewhere Over the Rainbow of her older voice because it would show all that she went through. And she let me. And the entire class is deeply confused. I'm playing the song thinking it's blowing their minds the way it blew mine, right? And I'm looking around like, right? Nothing.
That's so heartbreaking. Nothing. You were trying to share who you were.
And they had nothing to compare to because they probably hadn't heard the song in the first place.
Well, I hope they had watched The Wizard of Oz. We were allowed
I
to
hope
watch
so.
That.
Well, I hope so too. But they're either uncultured or dumb to not have felt the emotions of a Judy Garland drug-ravaged vocal cord. Are you
Thank
kidding?
You.
Yeah.
Alexis, do you think any of your parents have queerness in them?
Yeah. I've always my dad is a very nice, gentle soul. I don't think he is gay.
He's too boring.
But he
gay.
Did
I'm
have a
porn. I think he'd
if any
you
of my if any if anybody in my family is listening to this, turn it off. He did have a gay porn, or he did have a porn addiction, and that's how I discovered porn. I found his porn.
You found your dad's porn?
Yeah, and I was like, whoa, what's this? So I got it. I saw it and I clicked through and I went to the stuff that I liked, which was and still is sort of dudes on dudes. And And then my mom found my porn, and my mom and my dad like showed, they were like shaming me. They were like showing me what was on the computer screen. And I was like, okay, but this isn't fair because dad did it first.
the Samantha Monaghan.
I was like looking at him when that was happening. He was like, are you gonna say anything? Because it was his fault too.
Can I say, this Pride Month, I think it's so important that we acknowledge the work that our allies are doing. And Alexis, even though you're a straight woman, I don't take offense to you watching our pornography and wearing my culture as a costume. This Pride Month, I applaud it.
Thank you so much.
Trans women for guy on guy porn.
For guy on penis, butt, cum.
Yeah.
The gay ass pudding pot.
Yeah. I also find it beautiful that we're being so open about the queerness of the generations before us, because they couldn't be. And if I may relate it to where I am right now, I'm not joking. I was all of 2 hours ago witnessing this family for the eighth time be horrible to one of their kids. Just like, clearly the kid was like kind of annoying, and he like then like sprayed them with the hose when they were getting the sand off of their legs, and they were just like, come on, Connor, son, just go to the pool, go to the pool. And a part of me had the fantasy, you know, where you have like everything flashes in front of your eyes. I had the fantasy of the scene of me going up to these parents and be like, I want them to think I was going to compliment them. I was going to say, you know what? I know the deal with your son. And what's going on is that he is not going to talk to you after he leaves the house. Stop being such a dick to him. What do you think is going to happen? Just like, and it again, the older I get, the more there's validation of, some people shouldn't be parents, A, and B, obviously all of our parents did the best that they could. And
no,
I'm so sorry. Some of our parents did the best that they could.
Darby said,
and it clearly, like, there's a lot of fuckery that goes down that as a kid you don't realize because your parents are supposed to be right all the time.
Yeah. You know what I learned on TikTok recently? Have you ever heard that phrase, blood is thicker than water?
Yeah.
And everyone uses it like, stick with your family. The full phrase is, the blood of the covenant, meaning the blood of the promise that you make with someone, is thicker than the water of the womb, meaning like your chosen family.
So it's the opposite.
And that's why we really got to get a hold of this media problem.
I mean, listen.
So true.
The media literacy problem right now is just ravaging our youth and us, apparently. But listen, the chosen family stuff is so true. And that's probably why our lives and our current place now are so much more fulfilling than probably we thought they could be, because we were limited to what we thought was possible from a lot of people who didn't understand us.
Totally.
I told Alexis has been very worried our entire friendship, because I had said that I wanted to have kids. And she's like, okay, well, no, the day that a kid comes into your life, I will block you.
Yeah. And I was only half joking.
I know you weren't joking. I get it. You hate children and you hate love of any kind.
Yeah.
And so it was always just kind of, it comes up every now and then where she's like, you're getting kind of old. Are you sure? And she... And I go through phases with my family because we're damaged, right? And so I haven't talked to anyone in my family for a few months. And she's like, hey, checking in again. You having kids? And I was like, honestly, my desire to have children, I think, truly comes from wanting to belong in my family. And since I've disconnected from my family and
connected with me.
Well, and come to the realization, I've done this a few times with my family, and I always go back without any resolution. Mm-hmm. I always go back with like, all is forgiven. Never mind. You don't have to change. But this time I feel like I've really come to terms with like, no, I don't want this anymore. And like, I don't want to do this anymore, you know? And I was like, and now that I've come to that realization, no, I don't want to have kids. I wanted to have kids because my brother had kids, my sister had kids. And I was like, well, at the very least, if I have a grandchild, like my mom will come visit me. You know, like my mom visits my brother and sister who don't live near her every weekend she'll go down to either my sister's or my brother's. Wow. And I lived in Chicago for 13 years and she came up twice, once because I was in the hospital. You know, so I think I was like, well, if I have a kid, then I'll be normal.
Yeah, it was going to be a connector that you were searching for. And I'm not kidding. This has
been going through my head recently. I'm also not kidding.
I don't want kids.
No, I know. And I'm not, the fact about, I think, us.
He didn't get it. Okay. I said, I'm not kidding. I'm not going to kid.
Yeah.
Okay,
really
go ahead. It's fine.
I'm so sorry. I'm usually so good at getting humor, but sometimes
it's
I miss
so
the mark.
It's so highbrow. It's so highbrow.
Yeah. And wordplay is just the top of the food chain in terms of humor. And I'm considered a bottom feeder.
So was my husband.
well, lately.
But the full circle is that I feel like a lot of queer people with having children, it's a big question, because Matt and I have talked about it for a long time and have always said, yes, we want them. But the older I get, it changes. And I'm not now saying I don't want them, but I'm very much like, well, I need to really consider where the desire is coming from. Because a lot of my friends are having kids, and obviously I can see how it changes their lives in very meaningful and great ways. But also it's like a fucking huge change and a big hurdle of coming to terms with the newness of what your day-to-day looks like. And so I think we have a doubly difficult time with it because we don't have many people that have done it before us. And I know a lot of queer people have had children, but it's still
kind of like,
it's still novel.
It's still pretty novel. Yeah.
Yeah. I mean, and also I think a lot of queer people, myself included, we survive our childhoods. Mm-hmm. We survive our early adulthoods. It's all a very, and for survival reasons, narcissistic kind of egotistical existence, because it's truly just about survival. Mm-hmm. And that creates a pretty inward view of the world. You're just so turned inward towards yourself and like really desperately want to save yourself, you know? And so then when you become a parent, suddenly you have to turn outward and everything is about someone else when your entire life has just been about like protecting,
making
you.
It to the next day. Yeah.
Yeah. It's, I can't imagine. And like you, like when I was younger, I don't want kids. I hate kids. And then I'm a young adult and I'm like, I could do kids. But now that I'm getting older and I'm almost 40, I'm like, I don't want them anymore. I don't know.
Well, by the way, and your birthday is like in a few weeks, next month, right?
Yeah.
Wow. So you're right.
You're right. But you're right behind the door opening to 40 years old.
I'll be 39 next month. Yeah.
Oh, fuck me. Yeah.
You're going to be 39. Well, that's huge then.
Also, like, okay, how old are you?
33. And I'll be 34 in September.
Oh, yeah. Me too.
I can understand your lifestyle. No, you're not. One thing, like, for our generation and growing up in the South, okay. This is going to get dark, but I didn't view my lifestyle because, again, I didn't know anything, you know, mm-hmm. because all I heard about gay people was how gross and disgusting it was and AIDS and hell. And so, like, I didn't expect to live past 30, you know? Yeah. And so to be our generation and now almost 40 and trying to navigate what my life's going to be like, yeah, it's all kind of seat of the pants stuff.
It's all
we weren't given that opportunity.
Yeah.
Well, and by the way, Alexis, you too, like being a year into your transition, I'm sure the future of what you see, there's a newness to that too, right?
Oh my God. Yeah. I've talked about this with Darby. I didn't see a future. Like I worked at, okay, I worked at Lululemon for one winter season.
Huge brag.
Wow. And they had us do like a, where do you see yourself in 5 years and 10 years, write it down and put it on the door to the back room or whatever.
Put it on these leggings.
Right. And I just never did that. I was like, sorry, I can't do that. I don't know why. I never did goals. I never did any of that. Cause I truly did not see a future. It was like, it was blank. And now since I've been able to live a little more authentically, I do see a future. Like, I don't see kids in it still,
no.
Unless I like marry rich and the kids are older and they're doing, you know, like military school
like
or whatever.
Yeah.
Yeah,
I could do that as long as I don't have to do anything.
You could be a stepmother to children in boarding school and anything more than that, which I love. And I think
and I would be so good at that.
Oh, I believe that.
So good at that.
When you see them twice a year.
Yeah. And I would be like the cool stepmom.
What? How? What? What's a cool stepmom?
Well, I would teach them about STEM and I would teach them
Right. Of course.
I would show them Labyrinth and I'd say, look at that.
I don't know why. Oh, you're about to say, I would show them Lavender. I guess that's purple.
No, I don't like lavender. Sorry.
I don't either, but you know what else doesn't like lavender? Bed bugs.
Oh, should we do lavender spritzes?
We don't say that word anymore.
I've had, you can't say the two B words too.
I've had it three times in Chicago.
Okay, never mind. You have a right.
The amount of anxiety spirals I went through in New York with those, it's like seeing an ex. But wait, I have to ask you another podcast question, and I want you both to answer me. Darby Lynn, Alexis P, if the world was ending, you could only save one character actress, who would you save?
Okay.
This was really tough.
This is a beautiful question.
Thank you.
I'm going to go first because I don't have much to say. I'm just going to say Christine Baranski because people say that.
Oh.
Yeah.
But also, like, The Birdcage, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. She is a queer icon in that film.
Which, by the way, my in-laws are obsessed with her performance in The Grinch, How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And
it's perfect.
The costumes are incredible.
Well, I just hadn't really seen the movie until I was with Matt, and they would watch it every Christmas, and I...
They would watch the live Grinch every Christmas.
It kind of
red flag.
It's kind of awesome.
Oh,
it's kind of good.
Well, I'm glad you have that response because going in, I was like, are these people okay? But it turns out they just watch every Christmas movie. But one of my least favorite experiences as an actor, I did the national tour of How the Grinch Stole Christmas, the stage show
with Glee.
No.
What's his name? Mr. Glee?
What? Oh, Matthew Morrison?
Yeah.
No, he did the, like, televised TV version. Event. I did the, like, mm-hmm. We're going to take it around the country, except my production was, they did two tours when I did it. One tour went all around the country. I was in Nashville performing at the Grand Ole Opry for the whole time. But
Who did you play?
Yeah, I played a Who. I understudied Papa Who. Who did you play? It was like 10 to 12 shows a week.
Of course I did, all the time. It was, I went to the hospital because I got like a obstruction in my stomach because I was just like so dehydrated and probably just emotionally unhappy. But I bring all this up to say that they would quote Christine Baranski in How the Grinch Stole Christmas. And every time they would bring that movie up, I'd be like, God, fuck that. I hate that show. I hate that movie so much. But I watched her and I was like, Christine eats.
Every single
good,
time.
Right?
It's yeah. An adorable movie. It absolutely is. But if I was dating someone and they were like, yeah, my family, we love to watch Jim Carrey's How the Grinch Stole Christmas every year, I'd be like,
Wait, I know the listeners and I are going to be wondering,
Darby, who's your character actress? If we can really get into the important stuff.
Okay, this was a really tough one for me. Okay.
She loves a character actress.
I do. Up until Hacks, I would have considered Jean Smart the ultimate character actress.
Mm-hmm. Wait, up until?
Well, now that she's a leading lady, is she a character actress anymore?
Oh, I mean, God, what a great question. I think that this is controversial. I think once a character actress, always, it's in your blood. And Jean Smart, to me, is like, till the day she dies, which I hope is in 100 years, is a character actress.
She's going to live forever. She's going to, way after us.
Yeah.
When they make the movie about the Titanic submarine, she's going to drop the thing into the ocean. She's going to be the old lady that's like, I waited 84 years.
Yeah.
Floated. Did you hear?
But that movie will be made in what, 3 calendar months? I mean, they're gonna hop on that like.
Oh, I just saw the trailer and I'm thrilled. Let me tell you,
Sarah Paulson is amazing.
she imploded
ooh,
on
she's
cue.
A good answer. She's a good answer.
Yeah, I'm gonna say. Well, okay, so I said Jean Smart wasn't. So then I was gonna say Laurie Metcalf.
Oh.
However, if we're putting Jean Smart back on the table, it's got to be Jean Smart.
Okay,
designing women. Like my entire drag persona when I first started was all designing women. It was.
Oh yeah, my God.
Jean Smart is. My mom actually, when she was younger, looked just like Jean Smart. I think that's why my dad
gravitated.
His mistress. Yeah.
Sure.
But can I pick one that's already dead? So, like, it doesn't matter. Okay.
Please.
One of my favorite character actresses is Thelma Ritter. Have you ever seen Pillow Talk?
Okay, so I have not, but Thelma Ritter has come up recently and explained to me. Wait, what is Pillow Talk?
Pillow Talk is Rock Hudson and Doris Day. By the way, new Rock Hudson documentary on Max. Watch it. You will be hard the whole time. He's one of the most beautiful people who has ever lived.
I mean, he's so my type, so I can't wait.
And Pillow Talk, there's a scene where he's in the bathtub and they're talking on their party line and they're both in the bathtub. And so it's like a side by side. And he lifts his giant muscular leg out of the bathtub and puts his foot up against the wall. And then she puts her foot up against the wall. And you just see his leg. It is one of the hottest things.
If you do not have a foot kink before, you will after this documentary.
You will.
This movie, it sounds like.
You will.
Jesus.
Anyway, but Pillow Talk, she plays Doris Day's maid, who's also a severe alcoholic. But in like a 1960s way, so it's kind of funny. But Thelma Ritter was just always that kind of like crotchety, like old, she's going to yell at you kind of person. I just fucking love her.
Which we love an old woman who yells. I mean, I think gay people probably
watch IMHO. Thank you. Mm. IMHO the show.
Yeah.
Wow. Every answer gets better than the last. And I want to give a shout out for the New York live show is tomorrow. And one of our contestants is competing for Lori Metcalf, if I may bring her back. And their character actress lip sync will be one of her iconic speeches or scenes from Roseanne. That's all I'm going to say. But
okay, can I tell you my favorite one is they have to call and say that dad died.
That's the one.
Don't be sorry.
You're going to help us sell the last tickets and this is what we need. So
it's so good.
Yeah. I'm thrilled with these answers. And sadly,
have you met her?
No.
So my husband worked at Steppenwolf in Chicago, which is the theater, and she's a company member. And so for their 25th anniversary, they released a book that features each of the company members. And it's like John Malkovich, Lori Metcalf, what's his name? Gary Sinise. I was going to say, what's the guy
Tracy
with the band?
Letts.
Tracy Letts. Yeah. So it's just a bunch of people. So my husband bought the book when he first started working there. And he's like, I'm just going to keep it with me. And whenever I see one of the company members, I'm going to ask them to autograph it, which I think is so adorkably cute. Everyone was really nice. Like, he understudied a few things there. But one day, Lori Metcalf came in and he presented the book. He's like, hey, I'm a big fan. And she's like, oh my God, you have the book? I'm like, wait, you got this all? Do you want me to sign it? And he said that she was the nicest person, that she asked him 100 questions about himself. Like, where are you from? What got you into acting? What shows did you understudy? What
was
your
favorite
part? I
was so nervous. The end of that story was going to be that she was such a fucking bitch.
No, that out of everyone, she could not have been nicer. And she took such an interest in this random, very hot gay man. And
top
really,
at the time.
Top at the time, top identifying. Isn't that so nice?
That is so nice. And by the way, I do think that for the most part, our favorite character actresses and just like iconic women are usually far nicer than you would expect.
Yeah, here's the thing. Celebrity breaks your brain. Okay? Celebrity breaks your brain.
I believe that. And when all of us are living in our huge mansions, I hope that we are just awful to each other.
Well, I think if you get to, happy to do it. I think if you're like a character actress, you're still somewhat connected to the real world. So I think that's why they're nice. But the crazy crazies are like the big, big time broken brains. Okay?
Jennifer Lopez.
Jennifer Lopez. So true. Yeah. She is broken. Her brain has snapped in half and I love it.
Yeah, I can.
Oh, me too.
I love it. I love how crazy she is. I love how mean she is. Her indifference to those around her.
I think I've brought her up every 3 episodes because she really takes up a lot of space in my brain. And I think she's a great actor. Sorry. And I think that
Enough is a very fantastic film.
And then I rewatched so many of her movies recently. I watched Made in Manhattan on the plane. She's so good. And then the fact that she posted Ben Affleck's stunning thoughty selfie for Father's Day and like got blowback from that. The fact that I'm sure they're in a loveless marriage, but
yeah,
she doesn't know it. She's too busy looking at her perfect skin.
Our friend Rachel was at the Melrose Trading Post.
Yeah.
And saw J-Lo with in the middle family, J-Lo and Ben Affleck.
In the middle of summer.
In the middle of summer. She was in a full turtleneck sweater.
And a wool skirt.
And a wool skirt and a trench coat.
In the middle of summer in California.
And not a bead of sweat did appear.
No. She got those surgically removed in 04.
So her brain broke in kind of a mean way, which I adore. Yeah. But then we have on the flip side, I think that the anti-J-Lo, what is it? Antithesis? J-Lo is Mariah Carey. Mariah Carey's brain broke in the nice way. Mm. And she's fully nuts. That woman does not know how the world works. But in a very harmless way that is super fun to watch.
Well, did either of you read or listen to her audiobook about like her autobiography? Because listen to this, the reason why I think her brain has broken in that way is because when she was married to, help me out here, girls, she was Tommy Mottola.
He was
Tommy Mottola.
What did I say?
You needed
yeah,
help.
We were
Tommy Mottola.
Yeah, we were just saying. Oh.
I was confirming
you.
It.
Of course, my insecurities are so loud. I'm like, did I mispronounce?
See, you can't have kids. Go ahead.
Oh, then there you go. Show that to Matt.
So she was like basically kept as prisoner in her home with this man, and he was so controlling, so terrible. And I think her brain broke because she was like, not only that was so terrible, but then I think she became on a different planet of unicorns and I don't know hers and sweetness, hopefully, because she didn't want to go back to the darkness. But listen, I have to unfortunately ask you the final podcast question that I did not prep you on before we end this thing, which is, I want you both to say your answer at the exact same time. The question is, what is the best Whoopi Goldberg film? Don't talk to each other. Don't look at each other. Take a breath. Take a deep breath. And then when I say three, you're going to say your answer. Do not look at each other. Do not blink. Do not breathe any more than I've told you to. Take a deep breath in 3, 2, 1.
Sister
Jump and
Act.
Jack Flash.
Fuck, I should have said that.
Well, no, they don't have to be the same.
I thought you were trying to get us to say the same.
I was actually hoping you were both going to say Sister Act. So Darby's canceled.
I would have said, well, I was going to say Sister Act 2, but I love Sister Jumping Act Jack too, Flash. I just
listen.
Love
the three of us got to talk about two wonderful movies, Jumping Jack Flash and Sister Act 2, The Squeakquel. And that's always why I bring up that question, just to make sure we touch on Whoopi Goldberg. Listen, I want to thank you both for coming on That's a Gay Ass Podcast. In My Homosexual Opinion is such a great show. You're both so great. And can you tell us, where can people follow you and listen to you or watch you?
Thank you so much. We are at IMHO the show on TikTok and Twitter and Instagram. And of course, on YouTube, IMHO the show. I'm Alexis P. Bevels, but just Alexis Bevels. The P is silent.
Online,
TikTok,
yeah,
and
on the internet.
All of it.
Yeah.
Where are you?
I'm Darby. Just find me. There's not that many Darbys. Although there are. There's a lot of Darbys.
Now, oh, you've set a trend. I've set a trend by naming you Darby. And now a lot of girls are naming themselves Darby.
All because of your uncle.
Thanks for listening to That's a Gay Ass Podcast. Follow Darby, follow Alexis, listen to the IMHO the show, and I will see you all in the next time we get to sing together in person will be our next meeting.
Oh, I'm so excited. I can't wait.
Thank you for having us, Eric.
Thank you, gay people. Aww.
Thanks, gays.
Thanks for listening to That's a Gay Ass Podcast and supporting the pod. If you want to do the Patreon, it is patreon.com/gayasspodcast. And if you live in New York, I will see you at That's a Gay Ass live show on Thursday. And stay tuned to listen to the Brian Derrick live recording on your podcast feed soon. I love you.
Life is a workout, and Smoothie King is here to help you power through. Whether you're crushing morning miles or sprinting through back-to-back meetings, give your body the energy, protein, and power it needs to help you conquer your goals. Only at Smoothie King.